Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the iconic blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Castos for more episodes.
Hey, my name is Lindsay Robbins, and I'm a Security Operations Center Analyst for North Mississippi Health Services. And today, we're going to continue the topic of talking about artificial intelligence, also known as AI. And we're going to talk about kind of the good, the bad, and at the very end, kind of tie it in at a high level of how we see AI in the medical field, which we will talk about in a later episode as well. And today we are joined by Chase.
Hey, everybody. My name's Chase Tubbs. I'm a media specialist here at the hospital. I work a little more on the creative video making side of things. And I'm really excited to be joining Lindsay here today.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. I've been putting you to work with this type of stuff, so I'm excited to have you with me instead of in the background.
Yeah, I'm a background guy.
So today we're going to talk about, like I said, the disadvantages and advantages of artificial intelligence, also known as AI. And I figured we would start with the disadvantages. That way we could end on a better note or a high note. With artificial intelligence. One of the disadvantages that I found was just the cost that could be associated with AI. You know, the ability to create a machine that can simulate human intelligence comes with a cost. You know, it requires plenty of time and resources and can cost, you know, a huge deal of money, and also, you know, to operate on the latest hardware, talking about software updates, patches, anything physically that needs to be changed in it. Like I said, with the hardware, that can become costly.
Yeah, it could. I mean, and cost is more than money. I mean, you think about all the time it's going to take to implement these things in different industries, and how much testing you have to do, and how much machine learning you have to input for your industry. So, I mean, you got to think about relative cost as well.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And then I think one of the other disadvantages that everyone looks at is unemployment. People think, you know, a robot is going to take my job or is going to put a lot of people out of a job. And that is true. And sometimes it can pave the way for other jobs, or it can take you off of a repetitive type job and put you on something better. But a lot of people just think about the fact that this robot or AI is taking away jobs from people. You know, and we see this in the industry of manufacturing, but really any type of repetitive task, it's just easier to have a robot do this, and you could do it 24/7, where a person, you have to think about their work-life balance, and you can only work them so many hours a day, and you have to give them so many breaks, and how much you have to pay them per hour, where as a robot, you know, you just plug it and go and it'll just run.
That's very true. But another disadvantage to that, I mean, granted, sometimes in our jobs, some days the hardest thing about your job is working with other people. We've all done that. I have been that person that is hard to work with, unintentionally, but it happens. I have an off day on occasion. I would say that in the displacement, in terms of jobs, I mean, I look at things like, okay, I'm no longer performing this service at my work because another team took it, it's not relevant anymore, whatever. I look at that as an opportunity to, okay, let me learn how to do something new and bring another skill set since this other has been handled. Not everybody would look at it that way. And to be honest with you, it's a really weird shift for humanity in general to do that. But, you know, with everything good, there's got to be a drawback. It's just fighting it on a global level. I mean, even if you want to take it down to nationalities, every country would have a different use for this. They would use, some countries would use it more than others, some would less. We would obviously be high users, which means that our culture, in terms of our people, is going to be affected. But you just got to think about that through the world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that there's two polar sides to this. There's a group of people that would love to just do something repetitive, where they could, you give them a job and they will do it. There's not much to think about it. I went through a phase when I worked at a customer service job where there wasn't much thinking. You did it. And there wasn't much on the mental load. And then, but you know, if we're putting robots in the place and that, I think some people don't like change. That's a big thing. And I think that they don't see the future of, can I grow? Am I going to learn something new with this company? It's just, if I'm replaced, I'm gone. And sometimes, unfortunately, that is the case. You know, your job is taken over by a machine and there is no point for you. But then you have some companies that they automate processes so they can use you in a different way or to help with something else.
That could be the case. I'm a little bit of a skeptic on that. I look at it as less people, less money.
I definitely lean on the side of skepticism, but I also like to play devil's advocate, even though that doesn't seem like a devil's advocate.
No, it's not. but you know, when you're talking about, you know, just specifically people's jobs and like manufacturing and things like that, you know, now we have robots in, not here where we're located, but in larger cities, there's like fast food restaurants and things that will deliver your order to you. Like they just mm-hmm. put it in there, say go to table 43. So I take high offense to that. I worked in restaurants for a very long time, and I personally believe everybody walking on the face of planet Earth should have to work at least a retail or a restaurant job to be a decent person. So if robots are doing those jobs, how is anybody going to learn? That's my question. It's the great philosophical thing I'm going to put forth during this episode. Who will work the restaurants?
That's a good one, but...
Thanks.
But... tipping culture has been an issue, and it's been a growing issue because now that payments have, you know, a lot of people not necessarily are going cashless, but they're moving towards cashless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen videos going around of where you pay and you click, you know, the percentage of tip. And a lot of times there's no tip, but people will press other and just zero it out. I think tipping culture has changed, and a lot of people that don't work in the service industry would be like, oh, that's one less thing I have to spend money on is tipping a server.
That's true, but the server's not making money because a robot's doing it. I mean, I don't know. I get it.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I wouldn't mind placing my own order, though. Now, granted, I don't think that's AI, but like, at least if it's messed up, I'm secure in the fact that I'm the one that messed it up.
Oh, I love making my own order because I know that I'm going to put it in correctly and you let me customize it.
That's fair. Unless you hit the wrong button.
Well, a lot of times I just exit out of, like, take everything off. Give me this.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm saving you food.
So kind of spinning off that, a disadvantage that I've kind of been hearing about in the next 20 years or so in terms of AI development and its integration into our culture. Skill loss in humans. Think about that. Like, everybody kind of makes the joke of, where did I keep all the... what did I put in the headspace where I used to remember everybody's phone numbers? Because now we have cell phones. You know, you've got 1,500 contacts in your phone. I can still tell you my landline I grew up with. I know it. But I can't tell you many other people's phone numbers. So you think about 20 years of AI and its growth and development and implementation into our society, and then you think about what are humans no longer going to have to do, and eventually you'll have a generation of people who will not have to do these basic things to take care of themselves in life because they'll be automated. I'm thinking like Xenon, you know, from Disney Channel, like just snap on an outfit or something, but like people won't know how to dress themselves in theory. I mean, what do you think about that?
That was one of the topics or one of the ones that I came across too, but I didn't write it down on my notes. But yeah, it's a good one. There's a lot of things, like even simple math problems, it's easier to just pull out a calculator and have it do it for you. Or just, now you don't even have to pull out the calculator on your phone. You can just say, hey, Siri, and Siri will work it out for you. But yeah, I think that it is kind of taking away from our headspace and things that we remember and things that we used to know. me and my husband were joking last night about a math problem, and I was like, oh yeah, it's, you know, you just have to do PEMDAS. And then I was trying to think of what PEMDAS was. And
parentheses, exponents, yeah. Multiplication, division, addition, subtraction.
Correct.
Yes.
But, you know, it was just a funny math equation. Now, granted, math is definitely not my strong suit, but, you know, you kind of not forget them, but it takes a minute for it to come back because we have answers at our fingertips and we don't have to use our mind as much.
I think about it, and I've noticed this with myself. This is a completely personal thing. Everybody's brain doesn't work like mine, thank God. I think about my brain as more for storage and recall as opposed to processes. Like my dad tries to talk to me about how a car works and, oh, I fixed this. This piston went to the left instead of the right and blah, 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 blah. I have to YouTube all that, and I'm just YouTubing it to store it in my head long enough to fix it, and then I forget about it. Now, will I remember, hey, that screw looks familiar, and I know I need to turn this, but I can't remember what I did. Yeah, those things are there, and yeah, eventually you do learn the skill, but if it's a one-time use, it's just store and then delete in your head. It's not a process you're going to remember forever and ever and ever because you don't need it all the time. Why do you not need it all the time? Because everything's automated. There you go.
It's a really good visual.
Well, I am a visual person.
Oh, you see how we tie that around?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I will say on your end, with you being kind of more in a STEM-related job role, math is highly valued in those job roles. I still have my calculus notes from high school, and I will never throw them away. Like, I used to love math whenever I was more in practice with it. Now I end up being graphic design, videographer, and all that sort of stuff. So
I am woman enough to admit that math makes me cry. After college algebra every day, I would go to the resource center and just get help with my math homework. And I would just cry and say, I don't know what she was talking about. And they would help me. And I almost didn't get my master's in what I got my master's in until I talked to somebody who went through that program and they told me that it was not heavy math based. I was like, okay, I'll do it. Maybe.
That's fair. So I guess I'm thinking coding, but I'm thinking coding for like websites, which I haven't done in a very long time, but you have to be able to figure out percentages and things like that. So I mean, even just basic math. So, but, you know, besides the skill loss in humans and yeah, job displacement, things like that, what else do you think of being another disadvantage?
Well, being in the field I am of cybersecurity, privacy and security is also, you know, a big issue because, you know, we're using chatbots and ChatGPT to ask certain questions, to help figure out things and stuff like that. And sometimes there, you know, could be some nefarious reasons why we're asking these things, but where does that information go? Where is it being stored?
I would imagine on whatever platform servers, so it can keep learning.
Exactly. And what are they doing with that? Who is doing, you know, AI? What is our AI being used for? What is our information that AI is getting from us? What is it being used for?
I personally think Pinky finally succeeded. I guess the brain would be more the succeeding and Pinky's more just overseeing the company operations. But who do you, of course, two mice are running ChatGPT or OpenAI rather, I guess.
But they're doing a good job because now they have like a paid version. It's like ChatGPT 4 or something. The free version's 3 something.
Okay.
I don't have 4. I do have 3.
Okay. Yeah, so speaking of ChatGPT, I was looking earlier and I was reminded of something that happened earlier this year in March of 23 about all the CEOs and the CIOs calling for like a complete halt on all like forward production of AI in general until it could get more regulation. And that's pretty nuts. Like, you know, you're talking about disadvantages and what could go badly. Like, I don't think anything just terrible has happened yet, to my knowledge. I could be completely wrong about that. But as much good as we could do, there is equally as much bad that other people are willing to use it for. And the fact that you have business owners, you know, high C level people all the way down to like the common person who's just now learning about AI. Everybody in between those two levels of people are telling the government, we need this regulated. When was the last time you've ever heard the U.S. people say, hey, government, regulate this? Like, that's a big thing for that mm-hmm. level of people. You know, most CEOs of a variety of different industries are like, nah, let me do my thing. Just quit giving me more rules to go by. The fact that those people are against, you know, not against development, but just pause, 6 month pause until y'all can fix this. Company owners that we have right now that are operating Midjourney and OpenAI and stuff like that. Because like I tried to see if AI would pick some stocks for me. And it just, anytime you mention anything like that, like stock options, ETFs, it automatically gives you a, hey, I can't give you this information. And I know there's probably several things like that, but it's nice that they're just taking that initiative as the leaders in this industry to say, hey, we've got to cut this off somewhere.
So I would be interested to see the questions that you asked, because I'm not sure if it was on the episode before, but I did talk about how I was able to get instructions from ChatGPT on how to get to the dark web. And it took 4 questions because I had to keep refining what I was asking, or high level, or ask it kind of yes or no type questions before I finally got it to tell me how to get there. And so I wonder if it is just anything around financials is a no-go, or if it just could be the questions that it was asked. But we also use AI in the financial realm now all the time. You know, they help try to, create analytics based off of our housing market and trends of where we've been and where it thinks based on data that we fed it, how it thinks it's going to go in the next few months, in the next few years. So we do use AI in the financial world, but I think just an open chat bot asking financial questions or things like that, there definitely needs to be something around it. And it sounds like they're trying to do it, but I think it's going to be harder than they think it's going to be. Maybe.
I'll tell you one thing I really do look forward to, like, oh, what it can do is cool. One thing I'm very interested in is to hear all the talks in the next 5 to 7 years about the ethics of AI in varieties of industries. I cannot wait to hear those discussions.
It is a discussion already. It's not as big. I think it's bigger in certain fields, certain departments. It just might not be a discussion that we're privy to right now. But, you know, in doing research and just in school, ethics is a big issue that comes up with AI. Which is, you know, one of my disadvantages about it is because it really doesn't, you feed it information and you tell it to make decisions. And it only takes the parameters that you give it. It doesn't take emotions or anything like that. And it makes decisions based off of that. And sometimes what on paper looks like the right decision might not be the right decision. Ethically.
For your people.
For your people, for your process, because what you might have fed it, there are other things it can affect after. And the one thing that AI doesn't do right now is it doesn't look ahead. It's strictly just doing what it's supposed to do based off the information that you've given it. Now, I did say that it could look at trends and stuff based on that, but in certain situations, it can't foresee what is going to happen after it's made its decision. Like, so one of the things that I came across said that a disadvantage was that they could be evil genies. That's what they coined their disadvantage.
That's new cryptocurrency, evil genies.
Evil genies. But basically it was unintended consequences of what we tell AI to do. So first off, that's what we kind of think of AI. The movies, you know, make us think, oh, evil and the disasters that AI is going to bring us or will bring us and stuff like that. But it could just be from a lack of understanding based off the information that we've given it. So one of the examples it gave was if you tell AI, find a cure for cancer, and you don't give it much information besides find a cure for cancer, and AI's only option in its quote unquote mind is to just take out the people with cancer, and that's how you get rid of it.
What you're talking about is machine learning, which is kind of the foundation of where AI gets right. its knowledge for anybody who doesn't know the difference between those two. You have to have machine learning to have a product of AI. So you were really hitting on machine learning. That was a pretty good example you gave.
Yeah, another one of the examples it gave was you're driving down a road and you either have the option of hitting, going off of a cliff or turning and hitting a pedestrian. And it was, what do you think the AI, you know, would do? Because it doesn't really have, you know, morals and ethics and things like that. And so I sat there for a while trying to make a case. I'm like, there's too much emotion in it. But I was really trying to decide, because from an AI perspective, I was probably thinking of the fall of the car. But then you could think of a person. But I mean, I really wouldn't know how that would go.
So is that like the digital version of the train track problem?
Yes.
That is pretty nuts. I figured we'd get there eventually, but
because you know, yeah. we have self-driving cars, and so
if, ish.
Ish, correct. They can back up on their own now.
They still can't fly.
That's just a scary it. Concept to me. But you know what would a car do in a driving, and you're about to be hit or you're about to be in an accident? What do you think that car would do? Would they turn and go off a cliff, or would they hit a person?
That's interesting.
But then you have to take the ethics out of it and your morals, if you have any.
No. I mean, like, you say you have to take that out of it. Why do you have to take that out of it?
Because it's hard to program. Now, you can say don't hit a person.
Right.
But then you could also say
don't drive off a cliff.
Yeah, don't drive off of, you know, a cliff or...
So in that case, because there's no emotion, there's factual, or what's being fed is factual thinking, would it just continue straight into whatever you were trying to avoid hitting?
It could.
I get what you're saying with that example, but yeah, it's basically the 2020-whatever version of the train track philosophical problem. It's going to be really interesting to see, like, the example you just gave, but think about in a factory, like... Mm-hmm. And there's still going to be people walking around the factory because, you know, things are going to happen. Machines are going to mess up. Even if they're ran by AI, the machines themselves are not. So they're going to require maintenance and things like that. Think about what a machine would stop or go or whatever in terms of, like, safety for humans. And because I was about to go into SCADA systems, so we're not doing that. But yeah, and things like factories, I mean, that's your most immediate, like, hey, this is an easy, like you were talking about repetitive tasks earlier. That's the easiest place to implement, but then you have to think about safety protocols and what the machine will recognize as safety protocols, coupled with your, you know, state laws, national laws, with what they allow in certain industries. But yeah, there's gonna be some weird questions asked in the next few years, I think. And to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying just a minute ago. In addition to lack of, I'm going to pair this with your lack of empathy and morals. As a designer, I'm just saying, and I know most of us have probably used Midjourney to throw together the weirdest composition of things you've ever seen, but there's a lack of creativity in AI because there's no emotion. And granted, I don't think great, I think great emotions do produce amazing things in terms of music and architecture and you know, visual arts. Theater, but there's still no creativity, even whenever you have a crazy composition that's been put together, you know, in seconds online. Because what it's doing is it's using technical skills, not creativity. It's taking all the things that you've given it, and from a technical aspect, has put it all together, blended it all together. Looks great, but it's still a robot. There was no like. Thought behind it, or whatever thoughts you had, I guess, to type in, you know, your text image prompt. But anyways, we can move on from that. So else you got?
On that point, again, we're giving the AI certain, that we're feeding it the information. And so it can only create based off of information that we've given it. And where people don't, I mean, we could build off of what we learned or what we know, but some of the best music and, you know, or sounds we haven't heard before, or we think we haven't heard before, where, again, AI is doing some kind of rendition of what it's already heard and just mixing it up a different way. So it might sound new, but it's not at the same time.
But yeah. So no creativity, no morals, no ethics. Machines are useless.
Well, lastly on this, like I said, these are really just high level, and there's so many different lists and topics of what people consider disadvantage. And so we just kind of grabbed a few for now. But my last one I wanted to take from a healthcare aspect, which kind of goes back to the one of the ones that we've already talked about, which is just a disadvantage of AI in healthcare. It's the potential for ethical and privacy concerns. So AI systems in healthcare rely heavily on patient data, including sensitive medical information. That's needed to ensure this data is stored and collected and used in a secure and privacy-conscious manner. And we have to do whatever we can to keep that information safe and protecting privacy, patient privacy, and maintaining data confidentiality, and really just making sure that all this information stays safe. But that is one of the biggest things, is how we store this information, what we do with this information, and really how AI carries it out, and that they don't use it and with malicious intent, because we're feeding it this information to come up with trends or come up with patient diagnoses and stuff like that.
So now that we've looked at that, let's look at some good stuff. So like,
let's lighten the mood.
Lighten the mood just a little bit. Hello, Alexa, could you bring the lights up, please? Sorry, I'm just going to use my AI to lighten this place up a little bit.
Gosh.
All right, everybody. I think we're going to wrap this portion of the episode up for today. We'll be back to do part two next Monday, and we can't wait to see you then.
Thank you for listening. We are here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helps you understand what connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Castos for more episodes.